General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
Books, newspapers, films, they all tell us that Africa is tamed. Great cities grow upon this continent, railways, bridges, skyscrapers. Man is conquering the dark country, but Africa is not tamed. Who will tame the Namib Desert, or plow the arid bushveld of the Limpopo and Zambezi? Tonight, I'm going to tell you a story of desolation and inhumanity, a story of revenge. Although the man, the schemer, the plotter of the revenge, didn't know why he acted as he did. This is another of Stuart Clutie's stories. It is the story of Skulk Dubois, a bushman and a tract of cruel land that has no love for the wanderer. A story I have called The Honey Bird.
Good shot. But let him lie a while and stiffen. A badly wounded buck will run to the Red Sea if you go to him too soon. Too soon.
Skulk Dubois was sitting in the white, burning silence of the veldt, his elbows on his knees. He talked with himself, but there was no danger in it.
Not till I answer myself back. Not till I talk in two voices.
There was a movement in the pale sky. A vulture. Two vultures. Already.
Not today, my friends. Just the guts, that's all.
Dubois was 40. Dried up, hard-bitten, farmer, miner, prospector, wanderer. The stone had rolled and had gathered little moss. Dubois had decided to settle down. A month before the silence in the veldt was broken by the death shot, he had arrived at Swartkop. He went immediately to the bar because he was tired and dusty and very thirsty. He went because there's always news in bars. News of rivers, floods, famine, women. News of land a man can settle on.
No, Sylvester's no good. All unoccupied, but there's no water. Good grazing, but it takes 15 hectares to graze a sheep and 40 or more for horn stock.
No one? No one lives there?
Bushmen, that's all. You think you got rid of them, but they turn up again. I know of two live out west. They killed the sheep. I told the police, but they don't care.
Whose sheep? Yours?
Mine. Came and killed it and took it away, went west. Well, my name's Brown.
Mine's Dubois. Ah, another chemist.
Here, look.
Oh, the arrow.
That killed the sheep. Watch, it's poisoned. In the old days, the German...
I was a child, Munir. I was born in Ventuk. You say, as a rule, they stay out west, the bushmen?
Yeah, to the west.
How near do they come? To the Dorp, I mean.
Not so near. 20 miles or so. Yeah, it's only if they're hungry, like for my sheep.
Yeah, that's why the police are so easy on them. Sheep now and then if they're starving, that's all. We killed the game they lived on. There's a kind of justice in that.
Prost.
Prost. Brings it back. Brings it back. Yeah. Yeah, the beer garden in Windhoek. The zoo. The soldiers. The band playing. Ah, those were the days. Those were the days.
Two 20 miles, he said. Fool. If there's bushmen, then there must be water.
At Rosenberg's general store, Dubois bought a couple of blankets, some biltong, rusks, and 50 rounds of ammunition. He rode west. He rode for 10 days. It was just a matter of time. Tomorrow, next week, next month, he'd find them. Dubois didn't think much on his ride. Now and again, he wondered what Omar Brunt, Tante Kati as he called her, would be having for supper. He didn't think much. The next day he saw them. The bushman's name had been Excellent Hunter. His woman's Wind in the Grass. The names, a series of clicking sounds, meant nothing now. For now they had no names, since they were all alone in the empty land. They saw the white man upon the horse and went like dew before the heat of the day. Dubois had seen them and rode to the place where they'd disappeared.
That's where the woman bent down. There's the hole she made to suck up water. If there are bushmen there, must be water. If it rises so quickly, then it must be strong. Sweet. As sweet as wine. Man, you've done it again. Slum cattle, that's what you ask, Dr. Bois. A slum cattle.
Well, Dubois, what news? What have you seen, eh?
Seen? Oh, nothing. Dust and emptiness.
Yeah, that's the trouble. Emptiness. Good grazing, but not a spring. Not a pan. Nothing. So, what will you be doing now, eh?
Nothing. Try somewhere else.
But the next day, he went to the magistrate in the Dorp and bought 10,000 hectares of land for a few shillings a hectare.
Look, it's crown land. And cheap on paper, but dear, really. Nothing can live on it without water.
Yeah, you're right, Munir. It's dry, all right.
Well, perhaps it's the minerals you're after. You'd have the mineral rights, but it's been prospected.
Yeah, I'm sure it has. Most of Africa has been prospected. There's not much left for a man.
Then what?
Oh, I do not know. I'm a boor and I like room about me. I like to live alone in the world with everything I see being mine. Oh, that's my nature.
You'll be alone, all right. You'll be more alone than any man.
Wrong! Mora!
Welcome! You'll stay?
No. Again, I fill my water drum at your fountain.
But of course. Yeah, but this isn't the way of a visitor, man. Come in, eat.
No. I won't stay.
What now? You going hunting?
Yeah, I'm going hunting.
I heard the rumor that you bought land near here. That's true?
Yeah.
And water?
Water?
What will you do for water?
I hope to find it. No thanks.
The next day, they reached the outcrop, and the boys began to dig. By nightfall, Skulk Dubois had a well. At 3 feet, they had to stop because the water came up too fast. The seeds of the home of Dubois were sown. His plans went well. Then, one night, he had visitors.
Buzz. A bushman is come, Buzz.
Bushman? Where?
He's not there, Buzz, see?
No. No, I don't.
Yes, he's there, Buzz.
Give me my gun.
Here, Buzz, here.
There's nothing here for you.
Get out and stay out! This is my land now! Leave my caracos alone! This is my land!
The bushman had come for water. He could not understand why he was allowed no water. He only knew of his need. In a month, Dubois had a shack run up, shelter for his boys, and a flock of 300 caracals, grazing and growing fat on the scrubby bush that dotted the plain. They came again, and Dubois set the dogs on the little yellow man and his woman. They were good dogs. They knew their work well. It took the little bush woman 2 moons to die. She had danced in the fullness of the moon when she was young. Now, she died in moonfulness when she was old. Life was too hard for her without the water she and her husband had always tapped. She took 2 moons to die.
Looks good, Dubois.
Yeah, it's good.
What will you call it?
Sterkfontein. Strong spring.
Sterkfontein, huh? What are you staring at, man?
Bushman. Hmm? See him. Look. There. See?
Yeah, I see him. Why does he come?
I don't know. You think you've got rid of them, but they turn up again.
What was it?
Oh, nothing. Look at the berg.
Both men stared at the berg that lay on the horizon, 70 or 80 miles away. They watched it as it changed color. Pink, lilac, scarlet, mauve, dark blue, almost black.
Gold. Minerals.
There?
Yes, there.
Gold is not the only thing.
No, just the best.
2 men have gone there in the last 30 years. They didn't come back.
They were fools. In that belt there is a chest of treasure, locked by the desert. I'll pick that lock.
Dubois, this money, you could be somebody. A member of parliament at the Cape, huh? More farms, thousands of cattle, great lands of mealies. Dubois, there's the bushman again.
Get out, you vermin! This is my land!
Day after day, week after week, the little bushman watched the house. There was nothing on his mind that we would understand. Justice, revenge, these things meant nothing to him. The dogs became almost friendly in the end. He came so often they grew bored with chasing him. He could have shot the white man 12 times with poisoned arrows, but he didn't want to. This was his last hunt. When the white man was dead, there was nothing else to do. In the leather flap, on a piece of twisted gut below his belly, lay something heavy, something that was yellow and highly prized by white men. It was a nugget of alluvial gold, the size of a large nut. With it, the man who was once called Excellent Hunter would work magic. His last hunt was to be the most excellent of all. He was on this white man's spoor, and eventually he would pull him down. As Brown was about to leave Dubois' place, one of the Ovambo herders came with an old bushman, whose face was wrinkled as a winter apple, his naked body scarred and black with dirt. He held something out to Dubois.
What will he take for it?
Oh, he want a sheep.
Give him one. Tell him to take me where he found it.
He want 2 sheep when you get back.
How will you get to the bear? That's where he found the gold.
I know.
You'll die before you get there. You have to wait 7 or 8 years for the big rain.
No. With 10 donkeys, I can do it now. Listen. Each donkey will carry 8 gallons of water. I will do 10 to 15 miles a day. The first day, I'll shoot 1 donkey, bury a can of water, and give the rest to the other donkeys. On the second day, I'll shoot 2, bury 4 gallons of water, and give the rest 12 gallons.
The ration gets more as the donkeys get less. Huh?
That is so, my friend. The trek will take 8 days. At the end, I shall have 8 gallons and no animals to water. There'll be 4 gallons buried every 10 miles on the way back.
Good, good. Not good for the donkeys, though.
They are expendable, Monsieur.
Food?
Biltong. Poor biscuits.
You'll need markers for the water.
I'll take whipstocks.
You want me to come with you? There'll be enough gold for both of us, Dubois. And don't worry, you'll still be a big man in the Cape.
We'll leave in 3 days.
The bushman was satisfied. His plan was working. He had baited his trap with gold. White men were mad for gold. The third dawn came. They marched into the rising sun. Each donkey carried 80 pounds of water. The first beast died the first night. Day after day they marched, the old bushman drifting like a feather over the sand, never stumbling, never looking where he was going, tireless, aloof, an animal shaped like a man.
The mountains come no nearer.
Well, they will. Soon they will look black and bleak.
Baboon?
Yes. There were some earlier today. And zebra spoor. Zebra and baboon can't go long without water. There must be water somewhere.
It would be brackish. It's good to have fresh water.
They shot the last donkey at the foot of the berg. The bushman led them up a rough path around a great black buttress and into a cave. A cave like a wound in the mountainside.
Wait. Can't see a thing here.
What? To what? They're not real, those animals, man. Only painted.
How many thousands of years ago was it drawn?
Where's the bushman? He was here just now.
He went here.
He's back. What's that? Give me those bags, man.
Well, well. So this is what they found.
They? Who?
The men who didn't come back. But there's enough here to... Oh, says Dubois. Look.
Yes.
Look.
Yes.
Big as walnuts. Where's the bushman?
Never mind the bushman.
But
never mind the bushman. We have all we need to get back.
Well, he went...
Let's go. Brown.
Dubois. This is why he never returned.
Brown had found one of the prospectors of long ago. His skull and what the hyenas had left of his bones. And gold, too. More gold beside the remains.
He must have found the vein and died on the way back. Why?
Snake. Maybe he broke his leg or something. Here's his hammer. Makes you feel funny. All that time ago, he's dead. And this hammer is here.
Here's the vein. Often, no, an instinct.
Here. Give it to me. Let me have a try.
Brown, we'll go now. Brown, I said we'll go now. You should have come when I called, Brown. Now there is no gold for you. No gold. Just the stone grave. One day someone will find your bones.
Dubois left the cave, untouched by the death of his companion. Long years of wandering, of silence, had taught him that pity and remorse were wasteful emotions. Dubois was as hard as the rock that covered Brown. And he was to need his hardness, his untouchability.
No trouble at all going back. All you need in this life is luck. And I have luck. Brown didn't. No luck. The donkey spoor is still clear. It'll last till the rains came. Soon I should find...
The bones of the donkey were quite clean. Most of them had been smashed, splintered by the great jaws of the hyena. He camped beside them, dug up his water, and slept next to the bamboo whipstick with its flag fluttering over his head. The next night, the same actions were repeated. Dubois needed his fire in the desert night.
10 pounds of gold. 10 pounds. Enough to finance a real trip. Luck. You always have luck if you believe in it. Talking to myself. It's all right until I answer, though, isn't it?
It was hotter the next day. He sweated. All the water seemed to drain out of him. He saw the next flag in the distance. The spoor was clearer every day as the number of donkeys which had made it increased. He didn't look up until he was quite near the next camp.
There's the flag. Funny. No. It must... Green in the desert. Someone has dug up my can. My water. Water. Oh, my water. Water. I need water. Gah. A few days. That's all that it takes to make grass grow when there is water. Who poured my water away?
A single white flower had grown in the green grass. A white flower like a daisy on a long stem. It was still hot. The sun was a long way away from the horizon, from the sea into which it sank each night. Luck had deserted Dubois. He was too far off to go back.
Dubois, with money you could be somebody. Be somebody.
Quiet! Go away, Brown! You haven't got any luck! No luck, Brown!
A member of Parliament at the Cape, Dubois. Thousands of sheep, cattle, great lengths of mealies.
Quiet!
Dubois shouted about gold, about luck, and finally about the deity. He screamed in the emptiness, screamed until his tongue swelled in his mouth. From a distance, the bushman watched the white man stagger in circles, heard him shout, then saw him shake his fist in the air and strip off his clothes so that he was naked, white as the belly of a fish. Almost at once the sun hit him. In half an hour he was lobster red, in an hour so swollen that his eyes had disappeared into his face behind his eyelids and cheeks. The bushman stood quite near now. This was not the way his woman had died. She had died calmly, like a starved plant. The bushman stood near and whispered, "Gold is as honey, the white man's honey. I am the honey bird, no longer the excellent hunter. I am the honey bird." ¶¶
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushbelt. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.